Okay, so I'm recording now. Unfortunately, Adrian isn't able to make it this morning, but he did send an email to the group talking about some of the directions that he sees the quilt could possibly go in. And so for today, what I wanted to do was actually get an idea of the scope. And so sitting there seeing what everyone is interested in and where they come from in regards to it before we make any decisions at all. So it's kind of, that's what this call is about everybody introducing themselves and talking about their the possibilities that they see. And then from that, we'll make some other decisions in regards to moving forward. So I think I'll actually start by reading in what Adrian talked about. So he had some urgent travel, so he wasn't able to attend. And he says, "Hi, I'm Adrian Hope Bailey, the head of Interledger at Coil Technologies. I have a small team based in Cape Town, South Africa, and I report into our CEO, who's based in San Francisco. Coil is a startup less than a year old and is building micropayments-based alternative monetization model for the web. We're using the Interledger protocol extensively and continue to participate actively in the Interledger community. My team and I focus on ILP, growing the community, the network, and working on reference implementations. Despite having its roots in the research team at Ripple, ILP is not a blockchain or blockchain-focused protocol. It's a protocol for value transfer across any ledger, some of which may be blockchains. As such, I must confess that we spend very little of our time looking or thinking about blockchain technology these days. Quilt was initiated by myself and David Fueling, who's also on the phone call, colleagues from Everest NT Docomo. As a project to develop...
Hearing the call, Silona, sorry, yes. Hearing the call as well. I'm from Jorge Lesmes from every part of the arena team as well.
Okay. Oh, awesome. Thank you. Used to cross-facilitate cross-project blockchain value transfers with the hope that it would ultimately be used to connect Hyperledger blockchains like Fabric, hence the name of Quilt. So basically, and then he talks about the momentum issues, and then our hope for this reboot is to find that the scope can be broadened to include all blockchain interoperability concerns and use cases as outlined in the architecture working group document, and for Interledger to be part of a suite of protocols that can be used for interoperability. That may be a little bit large, but that's one of the reasons I wanted us to get together and discuss. Some of the other people that have been invited to this phone call is also Silas, who works on Burrow, which has some overlap in regards to this. And Vipin, you're in the architecture working group, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I wanted to have representatives from both of those groups here so that we can also talk about the scope of this and the overlaps that occur and what is going to be okay and what isn't. So that's one of the pieces I wanted to bring up. And then from Coil side, our priorities are for the development of the ILP implementations and integration with as many ledgers as possible, where this can be done with Quilt umbrella. I expect we'll be active participants. In terms of logistics, I'd be delighted to hand over the management of the project to someone, or preferably a group of someone's, that have the time to do a better job than I have been and who can steer it on this new path. And that's something, if you noticed, we're supposed to talk about towards the end as to what the actual logistics are going to be and how we will run this project going forward. And then, you know, he basically apologizes for that, but hoping that we can broaden the scope. So I think the thing that this email makes apparent is the fact that I know that we spoke with Adrian and David, and they are interested in participating in this and figuring out how we can expand it and take it further. So, David, did you want to talk next and explain who you are and Adrian and Quilt and all of that type of information?
Yeah, sure. I'm David Fueling. I work at Ripple. I'm an architect there. And so Interledger is something that it's a community effort, community open source protocol, and Ripple participates in that along with Coil and bunch of other companies that are building technologies on Interledger. I guess the only other thing I would add to Adrian's is just maybe some background is that the reference implementations of what's called an Interledger connector began in JavaScript. And so part of this initiative was to really get multi-language connectors written and tooling around IntelliJ in different languages. So I focused mainly on a Java implementation of the various pieces of IntelliJ. And I think you'll see in the Quilt repositories, it's all Java code at this point. But perhaps that's another thing we could discuss in terms of this project, like possibly broadening the targeted languages for IntelliJ. And then, of course, is Quilt going to be limited to IntelliJ or will it be broader?
Who else would like to go next? Okay, I'm going to pick on people. Vipin, how about you go next?
Thanks. Sorry for starting out this meeting by jumping the gun, by expecting the meeting to be at 9 o'clock New York time, but instead it's at 10. Anyway, so I've been deeply involved in Hyperledger for at least since its beginning, and even before it started. But bringing to this particular topic, I had started looking at some generic state transport mechanisms that would interoperate between ledgers, and of course IntelliJ and Ripple, of course, being very specifically about payments. We started looking at some of this work in architecture working group, and we are writing a paper on interoperability, and we actually started out by talking about something very, very basic, which does not involve cross-ledger DBP, but rather focusing on how asset transfer can occur in the most basic form, which was felt to be through burning something on one ledger and providing a proof of that burn. Of course, there's intermediate stuff like escrow and other things, and then having that be born in another ledger. There's such techniques have been used in ICOs, but where we thought it would be interesting would be for registration of an asset, like, for example, of a car registered in one state being transferred to another state. So, meaning from New York, let's say, to California, since the car can only exist on one of the blockchains, and it was presumed that these two places would be on blockchain, and then we could do a burn on the New York and then provide that proof in California to have the automobile be registered in California. So anyway, without going into details, this is the background of the interoperability work that we have done in the architecture working group. We have drawn out some diagrams, some sequence diagrams, some primitives. The essence is to try to find the primitives that would be necessary to do this kind of transfer. Anyway, that's my introduction to myself.
Perhaps I can go next, Solana.
Sure.
So Raphael from Omnigate. I've been kind of lurking on the Interledger W3C standards call for a while. Most of what we do is in Java, so I didn't really engage with the JavaScript working group, but I've been quietly listening. So we implement a private ledger that connects with multiple blockchains to bring them all into one state on one ledger. So we're very interested in Interledger and to connect and create, so to speak, a router for those assets. I've been looking at the code on Quilt, and I see there's a good foundation, but not many tutorials guides on how to write connectors, and I think that's one thing that could be improved. I would also like to know what's the state of interoperability with the JavaScript version, and is there any kind of tests or a test network where we can extend the test coverage beyond just testing the code and testing actual interoperability with the JavaScript version. So that's one thing I'm interested in. I do plan on assigning some resources from our company to contribute in the close future. And I would very much like to work with people that can collaborate with our developers to start writing connectors for Quilt.
Salona, is now a good time to sort of do some back and forth, or should we wait till the end so everyone has a chance to introduce?
I'd really like everyone to introduce themselves first, because we've got a lot of different people who are participating. In fact, I had 35 different people say that they were interested in participating, and so I'm also going to be forcing some of them to go and do this similarly online so that we can see where they're at as well. But I would like for everybody to be able to introduce themselves and say that, and then do the back and forth, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
Thanks.
Yeah, and maybe Silona, I can go next. This is Giuseppe Giordano from the Accenture Labs in south of France, Sophia Antipolis, and I'm here with Luca Schiatti and Ugo Born, part of my team. So we are in the Accenture Labs, which is really the R&D department of Accenture, and for the last year or so, we've been working on this concept of interoperability, not really focusing on an interledger per se, but on a broader concept to be able to move data from one ledger to another. So very much in line with the work that some of you have been doing and described so far. We've announced a first solution around the creation of this interoperability node, which is really a connector between ledgers, kind of centralized to move information back and forth. And now we are working on a new version, which is connectorless, and working on a new approach to generate the proofs and present the proofs when killing tokens, burning tokens on one side and creating new tokens on the target ledger. We felt like that this was the good moment for us to start joining these conversations and eventually maybe open source and collaborate on the efforts that are going in this direction, given the work that we've been doing so far. So we are very glad to be on these calls, and hopefully we'll be able to contribute from the Accenture side.
I'll take my turn now, Silona. I'm Jorge Lesmes from Everis, an entity data company. As I said before, we are part of the original team working on Hyperlayer Quilt. We started discussing this with Stefan Thomas back in the day, around 3 years ago, 3 years and a half ago. We are very active in this space. We have a big team of people dedicated to contributing to Hyperlayer Quilt. We've already built some connectors that we have deployed for mainly clients in the banking industry, which is the practice that I lead within Everis. And the same thing that I always say whenever I get the chance to speak at a Hyperledger event. I think it's, first of all, great that we are rebooting these kind of meetings for Hyperledger Quilt. And then we have to get the word out there and try to get some more support from other members. Whenever I go to Hyperledger events and I start speaking about Hyperledger Quilt, which is one of our main topics that I'm interested with from Hyperledger, it always amazes me that some of the people, some of the members don't even know about Hyperledger Quilt. So I think that we are creating a very powerful solution, but it looks like there is a very different approach or level of maturity, different level of maturity, even between members inside the organization. We always find people still discussing around if Fabric is better than Sawtooth or the other way around, or should I use this platform for doing this or doing that. I think that we should be focusing on what we guys in this forum are focusing, which is the problem around connectivity, interconnectivity of DLT platforms. Not only DLT platforms, but traditional value networks, which is something that always was part of original Interledger vision. And I think as Adrian was saying before, I mean, one of our main interests for starting a Hyperledger Quilt project was moving away from Node.js and into Java, which is a more stable, solid, and more well-known programming language within traditional banking clients. So very happy to be here and looking forward to hearing from more of the members.
This is Nathan George with the Sovereign Foundation. I primarily work on Hyperledger Indy. And as many of you know, we do verifiable credentials, which allow transfer from one identity owner to another of various kinds of information. And we've been working on value transfer as one of those use cases for the Sovereign Network. You can find code for that in the token plugin and Libsoft token repositories underneath the Sovereign Foundation GitHub repository. And so we were really excited to see Quilt come into Hyperledger because we think there's a lot of applications for being able to do value transfer in and out of the Hyperledger Indy network using the Interledger protocol. And also we've been working a lot on the idea of doing atomic proofs that come with the value transfer events. The idea here being to prove various banking credentials like KYC and AML qualities and other sorts of identity information in conjunction with value transfer events. And that's something that, you know, we do a lot of with our proof requests and the verifiable credentials protocol. And so it seems like there's some really good fits between what's going on in Indy and what's going on in Quilt, or what we hope will be going on with Quilt with all the good work people are doing. So I'm eager to see how we can help cultivate the community and push forward some of those use cases that will really make it so that both the identity type systems and the payment value transfer systems fit together quite well.
Hi, this is Wei Jia from OneChain. We are a small company working, specializing in the cross-chain and the interoperability. We are able to provide support for cross-chain between OneChain and the Bitcoin blockchain, and also OneChain with Ethereum blockchain with both ERC-20 and the Ether currency. And we are very interested in the Quilt because we thought this Quilt solution would be very, very useful for us to support the Hyperledger platforms for interoperability. We actually send developers to look at the code to see if we can contribute to the source code in GitHub. But it's kind of at this time, the Quilt is focusing in just transferring Node.js code to this Java. It's kind of a very specialized in just one area. It's kind of, first, it's very hard for us to contribute because the code is very deep right now. And second is that it's so specialized. We are very interested in the kind of overall generic interoperability. So that's something we're looking for. If there need to be changes, we are hoping that and interoperability project should be more broad. And that's something we want to see with the changes. And also, we are also working with EEA also for the interoperability. And we try to see if both organizations can come up with something that is generic and unified. And that's something we want to see, and that we are very interested in this project.
Hey, this is Sheehan Anderson. I work at State Street. We're a very large custody bank. I'm also one of the co-founders of Hyperledger Fabric. We use Fabric pretty heavily, but in the finance industry, we see quite a few different ledgers in use, so we're very interested in interoperability. We have a lot of Go and Clojure skills on my team. So we may be interested if there are kind of other implementations that we're looking at implementing in Quill. We'd be interested in contributing to those.
Awesome. Thank you. Who'd like to go next? Giuseppe, would you like to go next?
Earlier, on behalf of the Accenture Labs, this was Giuseppe.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay, and then Hugo, did Hugo go yet?
Yeah, so I'm Hugo Born. I'm a blockchain developer inside of the Accenture Labs. Been working on a couple of technology, including multi-chain and Fabric in the past few years. And lately, we've been looking with the team at interoperability. And as Giuseppe said, we've came up with one solution, and we're working on a second one to improve on what we've built. And we're looking forward to hear about what direction Quill is gonna take, especially in terms of scope. If it's going to move forward into something bigger than an implementation of the Interledger protocol, or if it's going to stay in implementation, and see if we can contribute on that.
Awesome. So one of the reasons I wanted to get everyone here together is to basically talk about the scope, because right now it is limited. And sitting there seeing if we can expand it out and which are the different directions that we can expand it out. I'm kind of sad Silas isn't here because, you know, he's also been, you know, he's the lead on Burrow. And I wanted to make sure that between Burrow and the different architecture plans, we didn't overstep our goals, but wanted to make sure that we could all get together and sit there and see what are the different aspects of this that we needed and how we wanted to work on them together. So, David, you said you wanted to talk about some of the back and forth in regards to that. I would like to go ahead and do some of that since everyone has introduced themselves. But let's keep it, I guess, open is what I'm looking for, so that everybody can express the different pieces that they might want to do or the different pieces that they see existing. And then one of the things that we'll be doing at the end of this is we'll take this back to the steering committee and go through as to what is appropriate scope for this group, because, you know, how Quilt was approved was something that isn't quite this large, and so we'll have to go back and reflect it back to them. But I wanted us to all be as prepared as we could be with the suggestions that we wanted to take to the committee. So thanks.
Yeah, that sounds great. By back and forth, I just meant answering some of the questions that were posed.
Oh, sure.
I guess just two things come to mind, and everyone else feel free to re-ask a question if you think it's something I can answer in terms of history or why things are kind of currently the way they are. I just wanted to call out that currently the Interledger protocol is targeted at fungible value transfer. So Interledger today does not support what we would think of as like non-fungible asset transfer. So a good example would be like CryptoKitties, or the car example I think was a good one as well, where, you know, kind of something gets burned on one ledger and manifests on a different ledger. Uniquely, that's not in scope at the moment for Interledger. So I think that's a useful piece to call out in terms of current scope of Quilt as well. That's actually like an open question for me though, in terms of the direction of Quilt. Like, should we expand past fungible asset transfer cross ledger? And then I think the other thing, there's a question about kind of the current code base, and agree with all the sentiment from, you know, previous speakers. One thing we've learned, I guess, as a community on the Interledger side is that by not having reference implementations in more languages, the protocol of Interledger was pretty highly influenced by the JavaScript implementation. So what we've seen, I think, as we've been building connectors in software in Java and in Rust and in Go, there's a bunch of different initiatives kind of all over the community. These different styles kind of have been informing the protocol and simplifying the protocol. So I think the current state of Interledger right now is there's actually like a re-architecture of the core part of Interledger, which is the connector. So there's a lot of work in flight, and most of that is actually happening over on the Interledger forum in terms of design and architecture. Right now, Quilt is pretty narrowly specific to just the Java implementation, so I think that's why a lot of that sort of architecture level work is not happening inside of Quilt right now. Hopefully that's helpful.
Thank you, David. That's very helpful. And maybe I can add from my point of view, from someone that, you know, as a private ledger, and I that also has capabilities to, you know, sign messages on the Lightning Network and such. There is a lack. Well, from my point of view, what's keeping me from, you know, making strides and with Interledger is the lack of documentation on especially the routing in Interledger. That was one of the big questions that I had. But also, how do we integrate with a current system? So there's a lot of documentation around MoneyD, and, you know, there's a lot of things that are currently pre-configured. But I find that there's a lack of, well, it's not necessarily a lack of documentation, but a lack of, you know, tutorials or really like the deep dive getting started material for use cases that are kind of outside of, that don't use MoneyD. So that's the first thing. And I don't know if you have ideas how to overcome that.
Yeah, 100% agree. There's a number of initiatives actually in flight right now to kind of address that, because I think anyone you talk to in the Interledger community formal would probably have the same feedback. Even I've struggled with, you know, like trying to port the connector into Java. Like, there's a lot of things there that are sort of undocumented or like a first go. So the routing protocol is another great example where I'd say it's pretty well thought out, but even now there's like an RFC that's been reopened to kind of formally document that. So we're definitely lagging as a community on that front. So I think I would, there's like three initiatives that have sort of just spun up, if you will. So the first one is to kind of operate a test net more broadly. So I think you'll see Ripple, Coil, and there's a couple of companies focused on running connectors formally. One's called Kava and the other's called Strata. I think between those, we're working on getting a test network set up with documentation, so it's a lot easier to kind of, hit Interledger or even the Quilt website, and like within a few minutes be able to at least make an Interledger payment on the test network, so that you can kind of see it in action, and then really improve the tutorial and the documentation set, so that, like you said, if you want to do something different or tangential to payments even on the Interledger network, then that should be like pretty clear and easy to do. So definitely a gap, but I think over the next few months, we're all like pretty acutely aware of that it's kind of inhibiting protocol adoption at this point, so it's hard to get started. Yeah. I think we've also seen that on the Java side as well. So if you look in the Quilt repository, it's pretty much like core libraries. So like message formats and, like foundational code. But a lot of the connector code, I've actually been sort of working on it in my private repo to proof of concept certain designs. So I'm actually pretty close. I would say in the next fiber connector implementation that could be ready to move to Quilt or just, shareable with the broader community if Quilt kind of becomes something else. But definitely, like even as a Java developer, I think my experience even in this Hyperledger community is like people come and want to get involved, but we're still kind of architecting what a connector should look like. So
yeah,
pretty difficult unless you're going to like dive in 100% of the time. And
right. So I'd very much like to contribute to that, because it's not clear at all right now how the plugin should be written. So I'm looking at writing a plugin for the Lightning Network, and so we mirror our Bitcoin balances on a private ledger, because we assign it to multiple users. So we're looking at whenever there's an outgoing interledger payment that uses Bitcoin as the source currency, we're looking at making a freeze on the whole amount of the outgoing payment. What's not clear to me is how much of that transaction is done by our system, how much of that transactions is so to speak orchestrated or sent from the ILP Quilt connect a plugin to the Lightning Network node directly. And of course I would like the bulk of it to be handled by the Quilt plugin itself, and give that back in the open source community. But it's very, it's not very concrete at the moment how that plugin would manifest. I don't even think there's a demo plugin in the repo. I've been looking for a while. I didn't really find anything. So anyways, I'm looking forward to really having more reference plugins, stuff that we can play with and work around. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually think it would be useful to pose that question more about like bridging Bitcoin and Lightning or whatever sort of underlying ledgers on the Interledger forum, to get feedback from the community there about like what the best way to do that, like what a plugin should even be doing. I only say that because there's a number of people on there that are running production connectors, and so they're already, I don't know if anyone's bridging into Lightning yet, but I know people are working on it, and so just in terms of like how that should function, that'd be a good place to sort of socialize that. One thing that I would say, the Interledger protocol has pivoted over the last year from what you might think of as like a pure atomic swap to more of this idea of streaming micropayments.
Yeah. No. I've been reading the RFCs, and I think it's very clever. You do the first packet is the quote, and there's a lot of stuff that I really like the direction it's taken. But it's, it's still not clear to me how to actually get down to business. And I feel like even if I spawn, three private ledgers and start using Interledger between them, I feel like I can make a lot of mistakes because this becomes a sort of an echo chamber. And so that, which, kind of going into my next point, would very much like to have a public network where we can run some more practical tests, not unit tests, but acceptance tests, something that enforces standards. And I don't know if you guys have that for the JavaScript version. I know that testing a protocol and a changing spec like that at the unit test level it's required, but it can be daunting, and it doesn't guarantee that you're doing everything right. So I was wondering what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, so there is a small test net. It was, I actually just saw a post recently on it. I haven't connected to it yet, though. There was like an older testnet and then a newer one, but it's still just JavaScript, so it doesn't really exercise interop. In terms of interop, I think that's coming probably in the next month or two. That's something that Ripple and Coil and a couple other companies are working on, mostly to be testing our different implementations. I would say, too, unfortunately, the Java implementation is pretty immature right now. So I'm not aware of any open source connector that's finished yet. I mean, I think Everest had one in flight at one point, and I have one in flight. But even if you were to build a plugin in Java, you would probably struggle to make it work because the connector isn't finished. So a lot of times the feedback is, well, if you want to run a plugin, you have to run the JavaScript connector, and that can be a no-go for a lot of people. So unfortunately, the state of the world right now is the Java implementation is not mature yet.
Yeah, no, I've that's what we're trying to address, right?
Yeah, totally. I guess the short answer there is all that's in flight. It's just it's coming, not here yet.
So we've had two more people join the phone call, it looks like, and Neil and Warren. Did y'all want to introduce yourselves?
Yes, my name is Anil. I work with Ben and Sheehan in State Street. I just joined to listen in.
Okay, thank you. And then Warren? Warren, you raised your hand, but we're still not hearing you talking. So you might have something else muted, because you're not actually muted on the app. Or I guess maybe he's raising his hand to wave at us. Oh, says he doesn't have audio enabled. Okay, all right. Thank you, Warren.
So,
go ahead.
Fascinating discussion between Raphael and David. I am also interested in a couple of other things mentioned before, which is the Accenture Labs guys talking about connectorless. That's one thing. The other is the privacy enhancements in Lightning, like Dandelion, you know, those kind of things. The third thing would be, what are other people doing, you know? I know that, for example, Corda Settler had a deal with Ripple in order to do atomic payments, and how does that influence what we will be doing? They are, you know, obviously they also recently announced something to do with Swift, which I know is the elephant in the room. So there is the whole payment stuff of fungible assets. There is the whole more generic non-fungible or even state transfers between ledgers. Obviously, we have to deal with the simpler stuff first. But, you know, I would like to hear from the Accenture guys about the connectorless stuff. And other...
Bipin, you know. If I can just jump in a minute. I looked at the stuff from R3 and Corda Settler. And, I don't think it's anything close in scope to what... Interledger wants to do, and is to, it doesn't go and cover, you know, routing quotes and conversions and, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that Settler has, you know, the Internet of Value vision.
No, and, it doesn't.
Yeah,
I didn't claim that. I thought it was a very sort of simplistic implementation, which they announced with great fanfare and was written by probably Roger in about 1 week or 2 weeks. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, what are we doing about all these different things that would influence us? So to start with, you know, I would like to hear from the Accenture guys about the connectorless stuff, which is absolutely nothing to do with Corda Settler. But, you know, the generic value transfer or generic state transfer is a problem, you know, which is kind of beyond us in certain respects, because we are even sort of dealing with this more basic fungible asset transfer. And especially when you're talking about, you know, different languages that are used and how it influences the design and back and forth, you know, those are all interesting topics. From a business perspective, though, the, you know, like you said, you mentioned, Rafael mentioned that you lock up the whole amount. So is there a way of providing some kind of leverage, like a credit, so that you don't lock up the entire amount? So that you don't have to have, you know, those are all interesting questions, but I would say they would be like second level questions. So start with, let's talk about what the Accenture guys are doing about this connectorless stuff. I mean, that's my interest, at least.
Yeah, and this is Giuseppe from Accenture. So we are still in listening mode because our legal department is still clarifying on our positioning towards open sourcing. But hopefully between now and next call, we will start to have more clarity about that. And as soon as we have the green light, we'll be able to present what we've been doing and to see if this is any relevant to Kilt or to any other initiative we may think of. So leave it with me. This is Giuseppe, and I'll try to have more info from our legal department between now and the next call. And if so, we'll be happy to present and share with this group.
I also see people posting a lot of stuff on the chat. links and so on, which is very, very helpful. But remember that the Zoom chat is ephemeral, so it'll disappear after the call. So maybe we can resurrect these in an email or in the Rocket Chat.
I'll copy and paste it into Rocket Chat right now, Vipin.
So there is
the quilt channel in Rocket Chat?
Yes.
And what is the channel called?
Quilt.
Quilt, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the other things that I'm trying to get scheduled, and Vipin, if you could help me work on this, is I did want architecture to give an overview about some of the different places as to where this could fall. And that's also one of the things that I'm interested in regards to Borough doing as well, so that we can keep an eye on the scope issue, so that we can both, because I want to, it's kind of interesting doing these kind of things, because I always feel like we're walking a fine line, because I do want to figure out where everyone is and where everything's out there in regards to interoperability, but it's a huge topic. And some of it can fall under Quilt, some of it may go under Borough, some of it may become a new project. I'm not sure. But I wanted to see what exactly everyone was working on out there and where we can fit all these different pieces together. So do you know?
The architecture working group call is happening in an hour at 12 noon, and the focus of the last few calls has been on the interoperability paper, and I'll bring this topic up today.
Thank you. I won't be able to attend because that's the same time as the senior staff meeting for Hyperledger. If you could guide that through for me, I'd really appreciate it. And see who can perhaps show up next week to talk with us through some of that. Because I know that y'all have been working a lot on the interoperability portion.
It's a very sort of, we debate a lot. So sometimes we feel like not much progress has been achieved over a couple of calls, but we are slowly but steadily progressing on the paper. And I will put a link to that paper in the Quilt Rocket Chat as soon as we have finished with the call today, which will be at 1 p.m. New York time.
Awesome, thank you. I'd also like to highlight to everyone, we do have Gliffy available in the Confluence. And I think it might be a good piece to go in and do, where we can sit there and try to start diagramming some of these pieces out and figure out where they do fit from a visual representation. So if anyone's interested on working on that with me this week, let me know. And David, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, just a question, I guess, in terms of like what's typical at Hyperledger. Right now Quilt is very focused on Java implementation. I think if I step back, I think it's important that there are other implementations of Interledger technologies, but I'm curious if that's typical for other Hyperledger projects. Like, are most projects like an implementation in a single language, or might you have like three implementations of Fabric? Like, is that acceptable in different languages?
I don't think we have a lot of stuff that's set up in either of these different ways, because I think we are trying to find our way, being a community of communities. And so since we are so focused on the interoperability, I can visualize having the different language ones under the Quilt and just having the different repos for it and having a different set of maintainers and things of that nature, but needing to keep the group together so that y'all can decide on standards in regards to the connectors and the different types of interoperability for that. So, but it is going to be a structure that's, I don't think, the norm in open source. And so, but I can see us figuring that out and taking that to the steering committee for approval of it.
And also, we do have multiple implementations, at least of the user interface and things like that. And I'm sure Shien can say more about that in Fabric in particular, and also in the interoperability using using WASM as a intermediate tool for smart contracts. That means like you write it in one language into WASM, and then there are projects going on in Sawtooth and in, and I believe in even in Fabric or in Burrow for sure, you know, and some of those projects have been moved into labs to do this this kind of in, well, when I say interoperability, I mean it in a slightly different sense here. So yes, to answer your question, there are things that are happening in different languages. I don't think it is as widespread as in, let's say, Ethereum, where, you know, there would be a full client or full something written in different languages. But I believe we are progressing in that direction.
From a Fabric perspective, there's essentially kind of one implementation of the Fabric protocol, Golang, but the pieces around it, such as the SDKs and smart contract, those have, and database have different implementations.
Okay, so it does feel like maybe a goal to explore would be multiple language implementations. Although my experience in this particular community call is it's been mostly interest in the Java implementation. Although I think there was somebody here working in another language. But I'm curious, what does everyone agree that we should at least expand outside of Java, but still Interledger? I guess that's one question, and then separate question would be, do we expand out of Interledger?
David, so did you mention earlier that there was a Golang implementation of Interledger? If there is, I think it would be great to give the project a home. I think it's very much about interoperability, and we can certainly benefit from having multiple implementations sharing the same knowledge base and design specs. But yeah, my question is there an effort around Golang right now?
It's pretty nascent as far as I'm aware. I think it's just one person, but I'm not super familiar, but I can reach out to that developer and maybe post something in Rocket Chat or just email you directly.
Yeah, I'm going to set up pages in the wiki so that we can continue this discussion. I'm going to be putting the meeting notes and recordings there. And hopefully, so my notes are painfully boring right now and not probably completely accurate. So hopefully everybody can help me edit them a little bit. And I'll post those in there so that we can actually start to continue these discussions so that we can be more ready for the next meeting that we have. Because like I said, I am a little bit worried that there's not as many of the people here doing the introductions as I would like. so that we can sit there and look at as to what those decisions are. Because I think, you know, what you were saying at the end is very important in regards to, are we talking multiple language or are we talking about going outside of the Interledger protocol? And I think that that's something that we can't decide yet until we get more information from everyone and figure out where we're actually at. I do have to call time. I do encourage everyone to take this over to Rocket Chat and to the wiki, and we can continue chatting there if that's all right. So, thank you. Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
So, see you later.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.